You know, I thought for sure this boat trip is gonna suck. When we got aboard, I was thinking, really? A paddle steamer? I get seasick at the drop of a hat, but you all seem so excited and I didn't want to be a joy kill. But you know what? I've had a good time so far. Those clouds look kind of dark and ugly though. Wind's picking up too.
This is a great party. You guys, you're just so great. And this is a great boat. This is, I don't know, it's just so great.
I'll drink to that.
You'll drink to just about anything.
Damn straight. Which, that's actually not how I like my drinks. I like ice and fruit and mixers and little umbrellas. You know, like the fancy drinks you get at a resort. Resorts, drinks,
Oh, speaking of which, where's more drinks? I'm a big jam, biggly wiggly guy. I need more.
Listen, you've been riding that donkey long enough, dude. I think it's safe to say you're about normal size again now. Okay? Congratulations! You survived the Dreaded Bulge.
Aww.
I think it's pronounced congratulations.
Congratulations. Bacanations.
People in the Big Easy are surprisingly generous. And they saw your grotesquely large self at the floating drive-thru daiquiri bar. They just threw in an extra 2 daiquiris for free. No questions asked. It's almost a shame you recovered. I don't suppose there's any chance someone might happen to have more of that poison crap?
Hey, don't look at me. I'm right out of dangerous research chemicals. Oh, well, fun while it lasted, right? Cheers!
Cheers! Cheers, Zachariah, for getting us free drinks! Yay, drinks!
Cheers to me!
That's odd. Look at that open ocean. Shouldn't we be turning north by now? And it seems to be getting warmer instead of colder.
Who cares? What are you, Professor Compass? Having person? This is great tropical drink weather.
My favorite kind of drink and weather.
But aren't we supposed to be heading to New Jersey? I specifically told the captain our destination.
Ah, to once again roam the rolling hills of my homeland, where the weak are killed and eaten. To smell her rich aroma, Clark Nova will love it. I did promise him more despair and general dankness.
You better believe it, Danny boy.
It's just the wind blowing off Staten Island.
But, speaking as a native, why exactly are we going to that terrible fucking place?
Yeah, there is nothing at all tropical about New Jersey. I mean, except maybe the sheer amount of insects.
We have to lay low. The cinema assassins could be on our tail at this very moment.
You know, you have a real lack of trust in other people.
I wonder why.
'Cause you're smart. You're a smarty, smart, smarty pants, and that's why you and I don't trust any of these other fuckers. We ladies gotta stick together. Yeah, you too. Get in here, bitch. Mwah! Love you, bitch.
I think you've had enough daiquiris for
nobody,
tonight.
Nobody. Nobody back to tells business. Me when I've had enough daiquiris.
I guess this is looking a little bit tropical, and there's no reeking trash piles. Let me just check our coordinates on this radio GPS. Whoa! What is that feedback?
You're listening to the Ragtime Musical Jamboree Hour with me, Brother Jazzmaster Major General Coolman.
That is no ordinary feedback. It appears to be a broadcast of jazz music.
I'll be looking at the latest jazz recordings that have come out on the wireless and on
is that Brother Methuselah vamping background?
Scooby-dooby-doo-wah, scoodly-doodly, hem-hem-hemorrhoids.
Brother Methuselah? Not likely. I just saw that creepy old wrinkled salad putting around the deck. Where would he even get broadcasting equipment? Was there a traveling setup? It was trashed like ages ago.
Blah-de-de-blah-de-de-blah-de-blah. Enough boring talk. More piña coladas.
Yes.
But aren't those islands out in the distance? Strange transmissions? Unusual locations? This better not be a mystery. Oh, whatever. I'll have a painkiller.
That's more like it. Yeah, relax
and have fun.
Woo! Keep drinking me, Matty.
Boilermaker.
Where's the captain? Hey, where's the captain? Where's the captain?
Splinters on my fingers!
As the paddle steamer capsizes and sinks beneath the waves, the Cinemania Society are forced to abandon drinks and swim for their lives. Inebriated and lacking in basic competencies, each is overwhelmed by the raging storm. All looks lost. Until, in a sudden and miraculous act of Deus Ex Machina, our heroes are saved from drowning by a rogue wave that carries them to the shores of a mysterious island.
We appear to be on a deserted tropical island.
Where is Illuminator Andy?
Excuse me. Over here. I did try to bravely swim away with the last life jacket, but it turned out to be an 80s-era puffy jacket painted orange, and then I collided with this bloody lifeboat. Figures I would wash up next to you lot.
Ugh, serves you right, you little backstabber. Wait. I don't remember there being any lifeboats. Where'd that come from?
Has anyone seen Clark Nova?
What? Is he lost?
Scuttling around Davy Jones's locker by now, if there's any justice.
Clarky! Clark Nova! Where are you, buddy? Speak to me! Rattle your carriage return if you can hear me!
Ugh, I haven't seen him anywhere. And there's none of that gross slime trail he always leaves behind, so...
Well, I'm calling it. He has been lost at sea.
Hooray!
About freaking time, jeez.
No!
We're all alone here. I don't think this is New Jersey, unless someone nuked the site from orbit.
It's the only way to be Jersey Shore.
It's an outdated pun, but I'm allowing it.
So, what do we do now?
Hey! Did you hear some muttering coming from that lifeboat? We should check it out. There could be more survivors.
Hello? It's all of you. I'm saved. I was just making sure my suitcases and traveling clothes were dry, you see.
Luggage my ass. My still a little bit gigantic ass. Look at this. We got batteries, cables, microphone. This is a portable studio. Broadcasting without us, where's the loyalty?
I'm very disappointed.
Wait, broadcasting? Is that our old broadcast equipment inside? Repaired?
Well, you see, none of you seem to want it after the malfunction, so I just, you know...
Stop your blathering, you want-witted peasant. So it works. And this means...
Don't you get any ideas?
Now, there's always ideas.
Hey, everyone, look at that in the waves. What is that?
Ooh, is it a poo?
My gavel! It has washed ashore. Oh, you came back to me, my blunt-faced, brass-inlaid angel. This is a sign.
Sign of what?
A sign that he needs to tie a fucking string to that goddamn thing and wear it around his neck.
No, a sign that we must conclave immediately.
I was really hoping to start my next jazz commentary.
But what movie could we possibly judge? Here, on a deserted island, while we're all probably hungover.
Deserted island, forbidding jungle, deadly rocks. We must all immediately change into white linen suits and pith helmets. It's our tropical exploration uniform.
Second!
Now, who's cosplaying the colonialist? I get to give you shit for a change. My, how the tables have turned.
Now you're just taking the pith out of me.
White linen suits? Really?
In this humidity with my hair.
It is in the cult bylaws.
You know, all this old-time explorer stuff on a lost jungle island reminds me of a classic black-and-white film about a dangerous, forbidden island, the Island of Lost Souls.
Dun, dun, dun!
Marooned on a mysteriously empty tropical beach, an ocean away from what was once the strip mall of the damned. Past the palm trees and remnants of a wrecked paddle boat. Beyond the lifeboat wherein Brother Methuselah had reassembled the society podcasting equipment. A secret society assembles to scrutinize those films rumored to drive viewers to madness and disillusion. Draw closer, dear listener, and let your trembling ears sup upon the eldritch knowledge of the Cinemania Society.
We, the fellows of the Lens of the Lens, do convene to judge this offering of cinema and worthy of our esteem, or whether it should be cast down as worthless or
let us don our feathers in judgment.
What do we have? Pith helmets?
Pith helmets.
Oh, God, right. Why?
So pithy, though.
Ugh. I am Professor Andrea, scholar of San Francisco and pontifex of presentment for today's subject of scrutiny. But first, I must issue this warning. We disciples of the Cinemania Society have studied the mysteries of the motion picture and meditated upon the silver screen for many years. Therefore, we have become inured to the films we scrutinize, which may contain hazards unsuitable to young and sensitive ears. As such, we advise anyone listening to do so with discretion. Guard your ears carefully, lest you develop a severe and irreversible case of cinemania. Present at our conclave today are Sinquisitor Ethan, Keeper of the Lenses.
I am here.
Scrutinizer Zachariah, Guardian of the Door.
Is this going to be a stand-up fight or another bug hunt?
Profligator Daniel, Possessor of the Word.
Yes.
Arbiter Alessa, Voice from the Outer World.
Huh? What? Oh, yeah.
Verifier Andy, Master Illuminator.
I've got some sand in my shoe.
And Auntie Hope, Keeper of the Booze.
I'm still salty about y'all ruining my bookstore. And a little bit because of the ocean water, but mostly because of the books. Very, very salty.
Today's subject of scrutiny is Island of Lost Souls, the 1932 American science fiction horror film based on H.G. Wells' 1896 novel, The Island of Dr. Moreau, directed by Earl C. Kenton and starring Charles Laughton, Richard Arlen, Kathleen Burke. Profligator Daniel will act as master castigator for this conclave.
Thank you. So, charges against the Island of Lost Souls include geometrical facial hair, physical abuse of a dummy, 1960s levels of back hair in a 1930s film, living inside a cubist impressionistic nightmare, criminal overuse of foam latex. Criminal underuse of Bela Lugosi. Daring to challenge Hadley, Michigan for the title of asparagus capital of the world. Unleashing the Panther Woman upon the trembling world of men. Offering a charming dinner with a selection of wines, but no cheese course. Weird 1930s accents.
Hey!
Tell me I'm wrong. Blasphemous misquotations of the laws of man. Whitewashed casting. False depiction of an efficient government agency. And obvious lack of ethics committee oversight. Actual trigger warnings do include racial stereotyping, yellow face, torture, vivisection, implied support of colonialism, implied support for white supremacy, certain amount of misogyny, implied support for eugenics, implied bestiality, and consent violations galore. So, do be aware.
Hey, look at this, guys. I finally have a door.
Stop that. I can't get out. Help. Police. Murder.
Quiet, you.
Profligator Daniel, you will present the first part of Island of Lost Souls.
Yeah, and what if I don't feel like it?
Scrutinizer Zachariah will lock you behind the door with Brother Methuselah.
Who, I actually get to guard a door again?
Oh, where was I? Oh, yes. Let's take it back to the 1930s, everyone. It's black and white adventure on the high seas. A steamer is making its way through dense mists and happens to see something floating nearby the wreckage of a ship that would have been too expensive to show. But they also happen to mention that there's a derelict floating around. Ho there!
Who are you calling a ho? Oh, damn.
There's a man in the water. No, I don't mean here. I'm talking about the film. Our leading man, Parker, is rescued by a passing ship on its way to an obscure tropical island. His ship, the Lady Vane, sank. After passing out, Parker awakes to meet Mr. Montgomery, who he assumes is a doctor, to which Montgomery replies, "Yes, at least I was." Foreshadowing!
Yeah, it sounded like an intro to fucking Legend of Korra, anyway.
Where do you think I steal that from? That's also what they're doing.
It sounds like the opening of the Clone Wars.
That too. Yeah, no, they do it for both. Parker asks the doctor to send a message on the wireless to Ruth, his betrothed, who is waiting at the Continental Hotel, telling her that he was rescued and when he expects to land in Apia. That's the capital of Samoa, don't you know? This is back in the days when you could just demand someone send a message to a random person in some place and just assume it would arrive with no further detail needed.
I mean, how many Ruths were there at that time?
At least three?
Was one of them a baby?
Stop. Okay. At Apia, Ruth, in her crisp white linens, perfectly suited for this tropical island climate, is reviewing the list of missing passengers from her fiancé's ship. And gosh darn, wouldn't you know it, he's on that list. This is the sort of thing that happens often enough when they have a designated location for panicking Western tourists to ask about their drowned fiancés. But then she gets the message he sent. She's overjoyed that he was rescued and will be arriving soon. Meanwhile, on the ship, Parker checks out the zoo animals, because apparently it's a zoo ship. On deck, they pass cages with a tiger, a hyena, a lion, a man in a gorilla suit,
and lions and tigers and bears, oh my!
Not to mention all the dogs, just tied up in the hot sun. PETA would not be happy about the conditions. And they haven't even seen the actual island yet. Not to mention the health and safety violations. You just know they've been provoking that lion, and the man in the gorilla suit looks about ready to gobble an orphan. Which is how you know it's a man in a suit. Real gorillas are herbivorous, don't you know? However, the good doctor wanders around in a pith helmet, so you can tell he's a man of science and understanding. To paraphrase Rick Moranis, that's some good helmet right there, baby.
What? You went over my helmet?
Parker meets Captain Davies, whose only character notes read, a drunk. He despises their cargo and the destination. Apparently, they have been paid to haul cargo to an unknown island with no name. But Davies is no fool. He knows all about Dr. Moreau's secret island. It really isn't a very well-kept secret, to be honest. He calls Dr. Moreau a grave-robbing ghoul. Foreshadowing! Yet, he still works for the guy. Capitalism, I guess? Anyway, when Mling, manservant of Mr. Montgomery, comes up to serve the dogs, the captain hassles and then slugs him. Parker calls him out on it, and Captain Davies takes a swing at him too. See character notes. But Parker dodges, rolling a nat 20, and lays him out flat before going to help Mling up. For an instant, Parker notices Mling has an ear that looks rather dog-like. Foreshadowing!
I'm sorry. I just want to point out that the actor that they cast to play Mling was actually a Japanese man. And
yes.
This was in a period in American cinema when they were doing, you know, yellowface, that Charlie Chan was not that far off. But they actually cast a Japanese man in this role, which, you know, problematic as it is one of the few instances in which there was a person of color who was cast to play a, I don't know if I could call Mling a person of color, but basically they cast a person of color.
Well, yeah, though, I mean, almost all of the other extras and animal creatures were not actors of color. So I don't know quite what it says, but you're right. Like,
Yeah. Geez,
it's an attempt.
They're, like I said, it's problematic, but what were you going to say, Alyssa?
An attempt was made.
Oh, just the combat was like, it jumped out at me as, like, super realistic for no reason. It was fast-paced. People folded like they did, like they do on, like, random internet videos. Like, oh, my God. It stuck out to me. Sorry.
So there's a reason for that. And you see it in other fights, too. It's sped up.
But yeah, of course.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, so,
but
right.
The fact
so
that they tried, that was, like...
Yeah. Yeah. They shoot it slow because it's stage combat and they didn't want to hurt themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't want to actually have to learn how to do stage combat well to make it look good without cranking. Then they cranked it. I don't know. To me, it looked actually a little janky, but
I mean, yeah.
Then again, I watch way too many action films and look for that sort
Same.
Of stuff. So
yeah,
yeah. It was kind of funny though. Like he did drop like a goddamn stone. So once they reach the island, they are met by a small boat to take delivery of all those animals. And it is being piloted by none other than the infamous Dr. Moreau.
Dun dun dun.
Captain Davies yells at Dr. Moreau, saying he won't take any more deliveries. He also insists Parker get off his ship, and when Parker refuses, the captain knocks him out and literally throws the dummy overboard. I hope they paid that dummy well, because it looks like a 30-foot drop to the wood plank ship below deck. A fall that would kill a normal man. Dr. Moreau and Captain Davies argue about maritime law, while Parker tries to climb back onto the ship, but the sailors literally pull up the ladder to prevent him. Looks like Parker won't make it to Apia to meet Ruth after all. Set sail for Club Moreau!
Hooray!
Yippee!
Ugh, this rum tastes terrible. I need a mixer.
And just where did you find said rum? On the beach? And can you direct me to where that was?
In the pedal wheeler's locked bar case.
Hope, I didn't know you had such skills.
I helped.
Speaking of your skills, verifier, Andy, Illumina, whatever you are, I could use your skills, climbing skills specifically, to get me a mixer. I spy coconuts in those trees over there.
Those tall, skinny palm trees in the dark, scary jungle.
That's right. Use your skills. Off you go.
My tree climbing skills. That apparently I have now. Look, I'm a dumpy delight, not a skinny whippet.
Get up there and quit your belly aching.
Maybe we could find a pineapple further in. Those are extra prickly. I mean, tasty, tasty. I'm sure Illuminator Andy wouldn't refuse after what he put us through during the last conclave.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I mentioned that mistakes were made. Let's not have any hard feelings here.
Enough talk. Fruity juice. Now. Eddie. Go.
Pineapple? Like, an actual growing out of the ground pineapple? I've never seen one of those in real life.
You've never seen a pineapple before? Well, my young apprentice, allow me to be the first to inform you that it is, in fact, neither an apple, nor does it come from a pine tree.
I want to get a picture of that pineapple to post to my Instagram. Wait for me, I'm coming too!
Well, there goes half the society in a quest for fruit juice.
They will be sorry when they return.
What was that?
Oh, nothing.
Should we be worried about them?
I'm sure they're just looking for the most appetizing jungle juice mixer. It's not like they could be in any serious danger.
I haven't seen any pineapples at all. Maybe this isn't that type of jungle.
Is there such a thing as a pineapple jungle? I mean, what about a grapefruit bouvillard or a banana swamp?
No. Banana is a political designation, not topographic. Hence, Banana Republic.
This place gives me the creeps. There are bugs in jungles, aren't there? Like, big ones?
Shh! You hear that? That was a kookaburra. Where in the Reese's peanut butter fuck are we?
Do you hear that buzzing? And is that the sound of a stapler? And earlier, I think I heard a hole punch going off.
How do you know what all of that crap sounds like?
I spent a year in purgatory doing basic admin. Don't ask me any more questions. The answers are lethally tedious.
So shouldn't we be turning around away from the strange noises?
And the bugs. I don't want to meet anything that buzzes that loud.
Shut up, you two. What is that?
Like animals. A for good. Let her hand bear. Let it come forever.
Is this a hallucination? I'm not that far gone yet.
If my eyes don't deceive me, those are definitely a grasshopper stapler, a ladybird binder clip, and a scissor moth. And behold, there amid the madness, raised up on a dais of three-ringed binders.
Clark Nova! Oh, I miss you, little buddy!
So, it's you. I moved on, Danny boy. I'm king of my own cult now. These insect stationery supply creatures are my own creations. I created them in the House of Kane. Cedric Kane, that is. His portal was extremely helpful in the Red Ceremony.
Whoa. This is insanity. You've gone too far.
Way too fast.
Too fast, Danny boy? No, we are stationary.
But Clarky, we're a team. Without you, I... Wait, hang on. Anyone remember how to sign "You Complete Me"?
Forget it. I got my own worshippers now. I am God here.
Daniel, those insect creatures are getting closer. The scissor moth is slicing in my direction, and the hole punch sure looks punchy.
Why couldn't one of these have been part cocktail shaker? Okay, everyone, on the count of three.
Three, run away. And last I checked, cocktail shakers aren't office supplies.
You obviously weren't checking the right offices. Haven't you watched Mad Men?
Clark Nova, no!
Get out.
Let go! Leave me to die among the office supplies!
Come on, man!
Oh my god. Oh, I hate running. Oh my god, I almost spilled my drink. Oh my god.
Where have you been?
I can't believe it's happening. Clark Nova!
Poor guy, he's seen too much already.
What? Never mind. About time you all got back. Coffee break is over. I am the one in charge on this island, and when I say conclave, we conclave. Daniel, you seem to be the most sane one. You continue the summary.
Really? Okay. Doctor Moreau is disgruntled and...
Properly.
Okay. Oof. Oh, okay. Dr. Moreau is disgruntled about this unexpected guest, but he pledges to arrange a trip back to the mainland for Parker just as soon as possible. And why wouldn't you immediately trust this man? He has a gun belt and some of the most remarkable facial hair. That's it's fake. Like a downward-pointing arrow goatee underneath a chubby mustache. I mean, that's exactly what it sounds like. It's a mustache, but chubby. Anyway, Moreau swears Parker to secrecy about the island and warns him to be cautious while he is there. Foreshadowing! On the island, Parker notes the strange-looking natives, who also look a lot like Dr. Moreau's servants. Moreau uses a whip on the local inhabitants. Because, of course, he's also carrying a whip around like it's no big deal. But Parker has no objection to this style of employee management. Colonialism much?
Well, the Brits did once describe the whip as the mainspring that drives the British Empire. Explains a lot, doesn't it?
Hey.
That is...
I mean...
Ouch.
Anyhow, Moreau's home is this weird mansion filled with foreboding impressionistic shadows on every single wall. Regardless of the angle of the light, and it appears to have been built in Minecraft out of pure white cubes for some reason. The whole compound is massive, and it is completely unclear how the hell Moreau put all this together. But it is equally clear that he doesn't feel like explaining much. When Parker asks about the strange-looking natives, Moreau insists that he must surely be wanting a cold shower before dinner.
The word natives is definitely in quotation marks here.
Because nothing gets you hot and bothered like a freakish-looking man-creature with a piggish snout and a piggish potbelly.
Lucky Parker didn't ask about the large amount of exotic animals in cages everywhere, or it would have been a full sauna and a massage.
Parker is instructed not to leave his room that evening. Foreshadowing. Despite the eerie moaning sounds that they heard at dinner. No, Zach, not like that.
No.
I don't know about you, but when I'm staying over at someone's house and they tell me, don't leave your room, that is when I am getting the fuck out of there.
No shit. That is what we call on a first date a red flag. If I were Parker, I'd want to get off that island fast. But no such luck. Dr. Moreau and Mr. Montgomery are plotting something. He has a plan, you see. The sort of plan that I'm sure any pair of linen suit-wearing gentlemen on a secret island full of mutated animals would come up with. We are introduced to Lotta.
La 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 Lotta.
No, 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 no.
No singing.
No, 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 no.
Jeez.
Anyway, Lotta, not Lola, Lotta, appears to be a pretty, scantily clad woman with long dark hair. I say appears because it's clear from the outset that there is something rather different about her. Dr. Moreau wants to test Lotta and her, quote, emotional impulses of a woman on Parker. Dr. Moreau meets with Lotta and asks her to talk with Parker, the man from the sea. But Moreau warns her not to mention, quote, the law, in caps, the doctor, or the house of pain. Foreshadowing. Here's a tip, kids. When you meet a new person, it's probably a good idea not to immediately start ranting about your pain house and all its laws. Unless you're one of those special clubs with blacked-out windows and mirrored tables. Anyway, back to foreshadowing. Dr. Moreau introduces Lotta as pure Polynesian.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
She's the whitest fucking Polynesian I've ever seen in my life.
And the only woman on the island, so of course Parker tries to guess which Pacific Island nation she's from, and it's just your standard colonial-era post-dinner game of guess the foreigner.
It's okay, though. One of his best friends is a Pacific Islander. At first, Lotta is afraid of Parker, but she opens up more after dinner. Dr. Moreau leaves the two of them alone, and then the two of them hear a loud scream. Parker's worried, and Lotta immediately tells him about the House of Pain. Lotta, you had one bloody job. Parker runs off to follow the sound, and enters a room where Dr. Moreau and Mr. Montgomery are conducting an operation on a fully conscious, screaming person. No anesthetic.
It is all so terrible that Parker accuses them of torture. No shit. But the doctor just yells, "Get out!" It actually does, speaking of Dark Helmet again, it's just like that scene with him and his dolls, and he's like, "No, you did not see me playing with my dolls."
It reminds me of when I was giving birth to my second kid, and they're like, "We want to bring some medical students in to observe. They've never seen a natural birth." And they brought them in before I could answer, and I was like, "Get out, get out, get out, get out!"
What the fuck? Every mother I know has the exact same goddamn story. Shit. They're constantly bringing, like, "Hey, do you mind if we bring these students in to stare at your overly stretched cooch?" Like, what the fuck?
I'm like, "That's okay. I understand they want to do that. Some moms are okay with it, but like, wait for me to answer." I was like on all fours like a fucking animal because I thought I was going to die.
Or maybe like ask you beforehand and sign a piece of paper before they shoot you.
Oh no, dude. Even if you...
Also true.
No matter what you think beforehand, once you're in the moment, you are going to change your fucking mind. I was like,
fair. Oh, that's why they don't want to ask.
They need to reassess in the moment. I was like, no. I literally just waved my hands behind me. I was like, "Get out, get out, get out, get out, get out." All right, go on.
So they have to spring it on you. Otherwise, it's a no. Great. Very consent. Okay. We don't really see what Moreau and Montgomery are doing, but the implications and the sounds of distress are pretty clear, and it's kind of more gruesome to imagine than to actually see it.
That's one of the things this movie did really well, the whole, like, less is more, like, not showing you explicitly what was happening, but kind of leaving it up to your imagination. Mm-hmm. This movie did that really well. Like, kind of working with what they had.
Well, Parker does indeed get out, because he is a polite house guest. And he also tries to flee the whole goddamn island with Lotta, because he's not a complete imbecile.
Also, he's a little bit of her white savior.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Slightly hysterical, Parker is convinced they may be the doctor's next victims. The gated compound is very secure, but Lotta helps Parker escape. In the jungle, they run into a camp of the local inhabitants Parker had seen previously. The locals crowd around the man from the sea, but Lotta snarls at them, animal-like, at them to keep them at bay. This works about as well as you might expect, which is to say it does not.
Man from sea! Man from sea!
Suddenly, someone bangs a gong, but it isn't Mark Bolan. No, it's Dr. Moreau. He minces into view on a little bluff above everyone else, and the entire crowd of animalistic weirdos condenses. Dr. Moreau is the kind of messy bitch who changes into a whole new white linen suit for dinner each evening and walks around at night with a gong. It's iconic. He pulls out the whip, cracks it, and asks in a soft, lilting voice, "What is the law?" The crowd, led by Bela Lugosi in fabulous makeup, recite the law. Not to spill blood, not to eat meat, not to go on all fours. At the end of each stanza, they cry, "Are we not men?"
"We are diva." Oh, shit. Sorry, it's a reflex.
Nice.
And they end the chant with, "His is the house of pain," before they flee the doctor's approach. I mean, you know, if his is the house of pain, I would run too. Dr. Moreau has set up a kind of drama-filled reality show for himself, his heterosexual life partner Montgomery, and their quasi-man-beast servants on a secret island, and it involves whips, gongs, and a house of pain. I mean, I'd watch it.
Same.
I think the showrunners for Survivor must have watched this movie.
On repeat. This is the point where the sociopath flips a switch and becomes all kindness and concern. Dr. Moreau, aforementioned sociopath, realizes that his house guest is getting a little antsy and presents Parker a revolver for his safety before he politely invites him back to the house. It's like saying, "Cheer up, here's a gun."
Most American response.
As for
that's very gaslighting, you know, like, "Oh no, it's just you, you know, don't worry, here."
He's a total sociopath.
Right, right. It's like, "Oh, you don't trust me? Here, you can have the gun. Now you can trust me. Cause I don't have a million animals ready to rip you to pieces standing directly behind you."
"But the little gong is just for me. Only I get to ring the little gong."
Nailed it. As for Parker's accusation of vivisecting a man, Dr. Moreau brushes it aside as he explains his road to science. As if he's not actually at science yet. He's just on the road to there. Like, he's on the way. He'll get there eventually. But so far, he's already had achievements in turning animals into people who can talk, kind of. Parker is incredibly subdued as he hears horrible revelations of experimenting on dogs, Mr. Montgomery's professional indiscretion, which, oh yeah, by the way, Montgomery, he sleeps with his students, FYI. There's animal surgeries without any kind of anesthetic, some giant plants he's been making on the side. I mean, nice asparagus, I guess. It's only 30 feet tall and 5 feet wide. And finally, the poor tortured creature that Parker had heard and seen himself that very evening in the House of Pain.
Oh yes, did I mention that I learned to be a champion whipcracker in my youth in Australia, which is why I have this perfect Australian accent.
Ugh, I hate it. Incredibly, Parker then accepts the doctor's offer of a room for the night.
Why?
Because he's polite still, I guess. I don't know.
Ugh.
That's the real mainspring of the British Empire.
You don't need to be polite. Oh, we're really working on this in this generation. You do not need to be polite to people who creep you the fuck out. Okay? Learn so, this, you know, please.
Too non-confrontational.
Yeah. The guy from the shout had the same problem.
Yeah, yeah, very much. Yeah.
So Dr. Moreau promises to take Parker back to Apia in the morning. Unfortunately, after Parker says goodnight to Lotta and heads off to bed, Dr. Moreau tells Montgomery that it would be a loss to science if their new experiment with Lotta and Parker could not continue. Wink, wink. Foreshadowing. Next morning, Parker gets up to go and find the boat, his only way back to the mainland, to discover it has been sunk. Oh no, I have no idea how this could have happened, says Dr. Moreau, most unconvincingly, like a man who has not spent all night whipping a yacht beneath the waves or some shit. He was probably banging his little gong the whole time, too.
Bang a gong, get it on.
No singing!
No, 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 singing. No,
please, please, fine. Please.
Meanwhile, back in Apia, Ruth meets Captain Davies' ship, but Parker isn't on it. She runs to the consulate for help, and the film suddenly forgets itself and thinks it's a maritime legal drama for about a minute 45. An unusually efficient pencil pusher threatens to revoke Davies' license until he gives up the coordinates of the island where they marooned Parker and charters a ship to take Ruth to rescue her fiancé. It's Ruth to the rescue! Everything is going to be fine. This is definitely going to all work out for the best. You have to admit, that's pretty progressive for the 1930s.
I wish we could charter a ship off this desert island.
Actually, given the vegetation, I'd say this is a tropical island.
To be fair, aside from you four, none of us has explored this island yet.
Aside from? That's more than half the society.
Were you counting me?
No!
Not really.
What about the beach? No one's explored the beach yet. We might find something interesting.
Foreshadowing!
I was just about to suggest that.
Okay, but you need a chaperone. Now, Operation Find Interesting Stuff. Go!
All right, let's go.
That episode of the Cinemania Society was written and performed by Andrea Palladino, Andy Slack, Daniel Scribner, Zachariah Burks, Ethan Ireland, Alessa Luz Martinez, and Hope Bravo. Produced, mixed, and mastered by Ethan Ireland. Music by Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Sound effects and incidental music courtesy of Epidemic Sound. Visit our social media feeds on Facebook, Twitter, X, at TCS_Cinemania, and Reddit at r/TheCinemaniaSociety. If you really like what you've heard, visit us on Patreon and chuck us a couple bones, because making podcasts ain't free.
Very special thanks to Alexandros Katadakis and Ziv Lang for making this episode possible. The Cinemania Society is a product of the Cinemania Society, LLC.